Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good. Are you ready to start? Yes, some of you are. Some of you are still visiting, which is good. That's great. That's what this is all about. Welcome to our Lake Hazel Bible Church family reunion. And I was already told we're going to keep it low this morning. I don't know if that means we all got to sing bass or we can all take a nap. No, don't take a nap, okay? All right? So if I seem a little tired, please forgive me. I did not get home this morning until about 1:30 this morning. Headed right to bed. I found out what my daughter's superpower is. She can drive on snowy roads through a blizzard. So when we were coming back from Spokane yesterday, we were driving over the Blues, and she drove in an awful lot of snow for a long, long time. And she got us home safely. I think she probably had it in her mind, I'm going to get Dad home. And so she did a really good job. So if you see her, just let her know that we figured out what her superpower is, as if we didn't know already what some of her superpowers are. All right, hopefully when you came in this morning, you received the bulletin. So grab it and let's take a look at what's going on. Right after our morning worship service this morning, we have Sunday school. Just a reminder, we have Sunday school from kids all the way up through adults, and we're all studying some really cool things, and so you might want to plan on staying and joining with us. Tuesday evening, men, we have leadership team meeting right here at the church, so I hope you have that on your calendar. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible Study here at the church at 1 p.m. Thursday is Awana. We have Barnyard Night, and see, I told you, I can't talk, because not only was Andrew driving the car, Becky was driving the car, and at times when I was coherent enough, I was driving the car, but I wasn't behind the wheels, neither was Becky. So anyway, but Barnyard Night, so you need to come and see the cows and the chickens and the pigs, and no, we won't have any of that, but the kids are going to have a good time as well. Ladies, on Saturday is the baby shower for Brianna, so you want to be here to be able to just enjoy that and just have a great time together celebrating her and celebrating before long this new one that is going to be a part of our church. We're excited about that. And then before you go to bed, or I don't care, you can do it at 5 o'clock in the evening. That's up to you. Turn your clocks ahead 1 hour, spring forward. So you're all going, so we're going to lose an hour of sleep. Yes, you are. Okay? But you can make it up during the song service next Sunday morning. I mean, you can make it up sometime after church next Sunday morning. Okay?
Shots all right. Fired.
We were supposed to keep it low.
This week, not next week.
So next week we won't be low. So you can come. We'll be all excited. So we'll keep you awake. All right. Okay. All right. Good. Also, next Sunday is our church family dinner, and we're going to do our baked potato bar, and the baked potatoes are going to be furnished, but we need help with all of the other things, and there's a sign-up sheet out on the information table, and you know what? I saw some empty spaces, so that means we might not have those foods that there's nobody signed up for to be able to come and complement our potatoes, and so please make sure that you sign up and help bring some of the food to help complement our baked potato bar. Also, this is the time of year where we are having problems with our front doors not latching. They may close, but that doesn't mean that they're latched. So if you come into the building or you're one of the last ones to leave the building, please make sure that not only are they shut, not only are they set to lock, but they are latched. Because Michael came up here earlier this week and found the doors not latched. They were shut. They were set to lock, but they weren't latched. So this is the time of year where the weather is affecting our exterior doors. So please make sure that that happens. You'll see a note in there about Michelle Lockie being our prayer chain facilitator. And so her information is there for you. Are you glad you're here this morning? Yes. I'm glad that I'm here this morning. Are you glad for what God's going to do for you this morning?
Yes.
Are you glad for what God's going to do for you and in you later on today?
Amen.
All right, let's tell them about it. Let's go, worship team.
Stay seated today. Kick back and relax in the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for us this morning. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for this time of refreshing, of reprieve from the world. Thank you, Lord, for this time when we could come before you, our Maker, and adore you, and sing about you, and learn from you. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Lord, we want to worship you today. Not just sing a song, but worship you, because you're worthy of it. So, Lord, as we remember you, as we remember what you've done, how you've changed our lives, Lord, may our hearts reach out to you in praise and worship this morning. We love you. Amen. And I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. 'Cause Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat that Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Her sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed me white as snow. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail pierced hands, washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. Oh, high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands, washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. You are high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God, the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the worthy of our praise. You're high and lifted up. Oh Lord, we love you. We sing your praises today because of your worth. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, risen and exalted one,
risen and exalted one, Jesus, your name is like honey on my lips, your spirit like water to my soul, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus. Jesus.
Holy and anointed one.
Holy and dead one, Jesus, your name is like honey on my lips, your spirit like water to my soul, your word is a lamp unto my feet, Jesus, I love you. On my lips, your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Exalted one.
Risen and exalted one, Jesus.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. And once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you are exalted in the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. Oh, I'm full of praise. is once again.
Oh, and once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Oh, and once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and broken inside. Oh, once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. And once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. And once again I pour out my life.
Lord, we worship you today. We pour out our life for you. Lord, would you give us opportunities as we leave this place later today and go into the world to live our lives for you, to consider you worthy, not just in word, but in deed. We love you. We praise you today. Amen. As our ushers prepare to take this morning's offering, we're going to sing one more song for you. The Lord put this on my heart. And it turned out he also put it on someone else's heart. And to the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. For on it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showed that God is love. And God is just. At the cross you beckon me. You draw me gently to my knees. And I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken. Surrender. What a priceless gift. This undeserved life have I been given through Christ crucified. Oh, you called me out of death. You called me into life. I was under your wrath. Now through the cross I'm reconciled. I'm reconciled.
cross, you beckon me. You draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered at the cross. You beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. In awe of the cross, I must confess. Oh, how wondrous your redeeming love, and how great is your faithfulness. At the cross, you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered at the cross. You beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees, and I am lost for words, so lost in love. I'm sweetly broken, wholly surrendered. Feel like
somebody needs to say
hallelujah.
Amen. God is good.
God is great. I love those two words, wholly surrendered. You know, if you're wholly surrendered, you're not keeping anything for yourself. You're not holding anything back. So, in the quietness of your heart, in the quietness of your mind, just close your eyes and just pray and say, Father, I surrender myself completely to you. Father, help me to surrender whatever distractions I might have brought with me this morning. Father, help me to be able to surrender my pain. Father, help me to surrender my hopes and my dreams. Father, help me to surrender those things that would hinder me for these next few moments to truly hear your Holy Spirit speaking to me through your word. Father, I want to know you, and I want to know you so deeply. So here's everything. I wholly surrender it to you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on down, kids. We'll get you ready for children's. Father, we've surrendered ourselves to you. Father, I pray that it wasn't just an exercise, because it's something that the pastor directed us to do this morning. But Father, that was truly the desire of our heart. Whether we're young or whether we're old, that we've taken those things that we might have brought with us this morning that would keep us from really seeing you, that would keep us from really hearing from you. Father, we give them to you so that we can be wholly surrendered. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go. Have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, continuing on in our study of the book of Acts. And it's really amazing. Not really, but it's really wonderful how God put some of the music from this morning together that goes so well with today's message, especially this one, because we're going to be looking at a group of people who gathered themselves together and surrendered themselves to God's Holy Spirit. Whoa. Wow. Thanks, Jared, for doing that. So this morning, we're going to be looking at some of what I think are the most important words ever written. Because this part of God's Word describes something extremely new and amazing. And the more that I read these verses out of Acts chapter 2, the more that I allowed them to be able to wander around in my mind and wander around in my heart, the more amazing that they just became. We see the beginning of the church. We see the coming of the promised Holy Spirit. And we see the power for believers to proclaim the gospel message first where they are and to be able to help then spread that message worldwide. And so on this journey through the book of Acts, we're learning what it means for every single one of us as believers to be involved in God's mission. And we're going to see that in a very powerful way this morning. So hopefully by now you've found Acts chapter 2. So follow along as I read verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." These verses tell us that God's Spirit brings the power to help our involvement in His mission. So there are several things that I want us to see this morning from just these few verses. The first thing that I want us to see is the setting. And verse 1 here in Acts chapter 2 sets the setting. That's the first point on your outline at the back of the bulletin. See the setting. Acts 2, verse 1 establishes the setting. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Now, over the last few sermons, we learned that the followers of Jesus were told by him to wait for the Holy Spirit to come to them. And then they would be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We talked about the fact that these followers obeyed quickly what it was that Jesus had told them to be able to do. And they had just returned from the Mount of Olives, where they watched Jesus ascend up into heaven, and now they're in Jerusalem, waiting for the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And then it says, when the day of Pentecost arrived. So, already in chapters 1 and 2, we see how these believers were coming together. They were coming together in one place. They were coming together in one accord. They were coming together in unity. They were coming together for a specific purpose. And that purpose was to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Because to 11 of these, Jesus had promised it before he ever went to the cross. To 12 of these, Jesus had said to them, "Go and wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. He's coming. Just go And just wait. And then after he comes on you, you will have the power to be able to what? Do the mission that I'm leaving for you to be able to do. Now, this word Pentecost is a very interesting word. In the Greek, it means 50th. And it refers to the Jewish feast called Shavuot, which was celebrated 50 days after the second day of Passover. It's also known in Exodus as the Feast of Weeks and also the Feast of Harvest. Now, Pentecost was one of three Old Testament festivals where people were to travel to Jerusalem. They were to come to Jerusalem with their gifts and their offerings for God. And this feast was to celebrate harvest and was celebrated with praise and rejoicing for what it was that God had done in their land, for what it is that God had done on their farms, for the crops and the vegetables and the fruits that God had brought to them and that they had been able to harvest. It was celebrated in mid-June, and it was a large pilgrimage feast filling Jerusalem with visitors. Now, it's interesting. When we study some of the other Jewish feasts on the Jewish calendar, and especially what we see in Leviticus chapter 23, how these feasts pictures the ministry of Jesus. We're all familiar with Passover. Remember in our study of the book of Exodus, we spent a little bit of time talking about Passover. Passover shows us the sacrificial death of Jesus as the Lamb of God. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." And we all saw when we were looking at Passover from our study in the book of Exodus that it's interesting that Jesus went to the cross. He was crucified for us during what feast? Passover. What celebration? Passover. Was that just happenstance? No. Did that just kind of be a coincidence? No. God had it planned that way all along. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And then there's the Feast of First Fruits, which shows us Jesus' resurrection. And it's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20, where it says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Yes, he died as our Passover lamb. Yes, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, he what? Rose again." And I'm here to tell you, I hope you're excited about Easter. It's coming up in just a few weeks. And we're going to celebrate what? The greatest thing that ever happened in human history. Not the fact that Jesus went to the cross, but the fact that as he was in that borrowed tomb, 3 days later, he rose again. And he's alive. And today, he's in heaven, and he's alive. You can go to this presumed tomb in Israel, where they think they laid the body of Jesus. And you can go in, you can look inside, and you know what you're going to see? Nothing! Because he's not there. Because he rose again just like he said he would. So he's alive. And the Feast of First Fruits shows us his resurrection. The Feast of Pentecost, which is celebrated 50 days after Passover, signifies the coming of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of the church. And since Pentecost is a harvest festival, at the end of Acts chapter 2, it tells us about a great harvest of souls as a result of Peter preaching a sermon. It's in verse 41. Spoiler alert, we're going to go to the end of the chapter right now for a moment. "So those who received Peter's words were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." What a great harvest. Based upon Peter preaching about what it is that Jesus had gone to the cross to do, about what it was that Jesus, who left the glory and the splendor of heaven, came to this earth to be. Not a great teacher, not one who could do signs and wonders, but one who went to the cross to satisfy the requirement of the payment of sin that God required for the sin of mankind. Because only Jesus was the one who could do that. And this harvest of souls has continued because of this message, because of this mission. This harvest of souls has continued for almost 2,000 years. This is what God's mission is all about. Now let's go back to the earlier verses in chapter 2. The phrase, when the day of Pentecost arrived, it actually means had been completely fulfilled. It's the same idea as what is written in Galatians 4:4, where it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. God didn't send forth his son because somebody requested it at a certain time. God didn't send forth his son because it was just the right season or just the right year. God sent forth his son at the time that he had planned for it to be able to happen. When the fullness of that time had arrived, God sent his son. When the fullness of time was fulfilled, the day of Pentecost arrived. And the idea here is not just that Pentecost happened, but rather that this promised Pentecost was promised by Jesus himself. Remember what Jesus said? He was with his disciples. It was before he went to the cross, and he said, I'm sending you. I'm sending you a helper. I'm sending you a comforter. I'm sending you the Spirit of truth. He's the Holy Spirit, and he is going to guide you into all truth. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to abandon you. Yes, I'm going back to my Father, but I'm sending my power to you. And when the power comes, you are going to be involved in a mission that you can't even right now understand or imagine. I want you to notice also in these early verses of chapter 2 that notice that all of the believers were what? Together in one place. Now, some translations say they gathered with one accord, which means to have one mind. And it's a musical term that means to strike the notes together. There was nothing going on independent of one another in this gathering. Nobody came with their own agenda. Nobody came with their own ideas. They came together for one specific purpose. And what was that? To wait for the Holy Spirit. And they had been waiting. And they had been waiting. And they had been waiting. And now they're waiting again. Folks, that's a lot like church. We meet together every Sunday. And we sing these wonderful songs, and we have this wonderful fellowship, and we have wonderful church dinners, and we have wonderful activities. But we come together every Sunday, and we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. What are we waiting for? Jesus to come again, right? He's either going to come in the clouds, or he's going to come and get us one by one. I'm praying for him to come in the clouds, because I'm tired of sending people one by one. I want him to come in the clouds. And I want him to come in the clouds when? Today. But we gather together to celebrate the fact that Jesus is no longer, he's not in that tomb. He rose again the third day. Every day is resurrection. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. You get that, right? And every day is Anticipation Sunday. Because we're anticipating the fact that it could be today that Jesus comes to take us all who believe in him as Savior home to be with him. Oh, I wish it was today. Oh, I desire for it to be today. But you know what? In the fullness of time, God is going to determine when that happens. It may be my desire, it may be my prayer, but it ain't up to me. It may be your desire, it may be your prayer. I got bad news for you. It ain't up to you. God, in the fullness of his time, is going to make that happen. But they were all together. And they were what? Playing the same notes. Now, I don't know if they were playing the piano and the guitars. I don't know. Okay? But I do know that their hearts and their minds were all playing what? The same notes. They were anticipating the coming of the Holy Spirit. And you know what else this tells me? These first followers of Jesus understood the importance of gathering together. They were committed to the importance of community, and nothing was going to change this commitment. I think we could say that these believers that are gathered here all together with one mind in unity were wholly surrendered to God. waiting for Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit to be what? Fulfilled. You see, when we come together on Sunday morning, do we come wholly surrendered to God? Do we come united for one purpose? Or do we come because we have an agenda, and we want to tell other people what our agenda is, and what our opinions are, and what our ideas are, and what our thoughts are? These people gathered together because they were what? Wholly surrendered. And they were wholly surrendered, and they devoted themselves to prayer. And I think what they were praying for was, God, will it be today? Will it be today that you send your Holy Spirit? Will it be today that promised Spirit that Jesus promised us, is it today that he's going to show up? Is it today that he's going to come? Now, this was obviously important to them because we see it three other times in the first two chapters here in Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14 says, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to what? Prayer. Not an agenda. Acts chapter 2, verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now, a lot of preachers, a lot of Bible teachers, when they read this all in common, they put their focus on the wrong place. See, they put their focus on, oh, they had all of their possessions in common. So what they did was they had this idea that, you know what? What I have is yours, and what you have is mine, and what we have together is someone else's, and we need to share what it is that we have. We need to bring that to God, and we need to let God instruct us on how to be able to use that to benefit others. And so their focus is on possessions. But as I read this over and over again, God through his Holy Spirit, brought my focus to something else. They had all things in common. They had all things spiritual in common. They had all things according to the character and the purposes and the plans of God in common. Whatever it was that made them different from each other, they set that aside when they came together so that they would be what? In one accord. So that they would be united. So that old devil couldn't come in and make them what? Divided. Acts chapter 2 and verse 46 says, and day by day, attending the temple together. Now think about what someone would have missed had they not chose to join together with these people that were joined together, that were gathered together, waiting for what? Jesus' promise to be fulfilled. You see, Jesus made a promise. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when it is finished, I'm going to come and I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will be too. And you know what? He's going to fulfill that promise. Whether he comes and gets us through the avenue of death or whether he comes and gets us through the avenue of us joining with him together in the clouds. And we need to be coming together as God gives us opportunity, anticipating the fulfillment of his promise. But think about what someone would have missed had they chose not to come together with these who were gathered together waiting for God's promise, Jesus' promise to be fulfilled. And in light of that, think about what someone would have missed had they chose not to join together with their church family. There was a young boy who had to stay home from church on Palm Sunday because he was not feeling well. When family members returned home with palm branches, the father explained to the boy they had palms because when Jesus came to town, everyone waved branches to honor him. The boy responded, yeah, that figures. The one Sunday I skipped church and Jesus shows up. Can I clue you in on something? I think it's obvious that Jesus shows up here at Lake Hazel Bible Church every Sunday morning. I would have thought there would have been shouts of joy. I would have thought there would have been screaming amen at the top of your lungs. I heard a couple quiet ones over here. Thank you for that. Right? It's obvious that Jesus shows up here at Lake Hazel Bible Church every Sunday morning. And I think you would want to be here. Amen? That's a little better. All right. So now we've seen the setting. So let's see the signs. That's point number two. See the signs. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. God's own Spirit gives us the power to be involved in God's mission. It's not your power. It's not your strength. It's not your ability. In fact, if anything, it's your inability coupled together with the power of God's Holy Spirit. And so I want us to look now at three signs. And these signs are audible, visual, and verbal. The first sign is power. Did you see that in verse 2? And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. The word suddenly means this sound came abruptly and unexpectedly and immediately. As they were gathered together, as they were praying, as they were waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to come, Jesus didn't come and say, "It's coming in 5 minutes." 4 minutes. 3, 2, 1. Are you ready? It's coming. No. They were all together. They were what? Anticipating. Anticipating what? The fulfillment of Jesus' promise. And it says, suddenly. Sorry, I didn't keep it low. Yeah. Suddenly, the power of the Holy Spirit shows up. And there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Now, this was not an actual wind. It says a sound like a mighty rushing wind, like the sound of a raging tornado. This roar filled not just the room they were in, but the entire house. Have you ever been in a tornado? I've been in a tornado. In fact, one summer, I was in the aftermath of a tornado, and then several months later, I was in an actual tornado itself. I was in a house in the basement of these people that I didn't even know in Ankeny, Iowa. And I was in a shopping center, and the state troopers came by, and they pulled into the parking lot, and they pulled down the fronts of the stores, and they got all of us out of the stores, and they said, "There's a tornado coming. You don't have time to get back to your houses. You don't have time to get back to where it is you're supposed to go. We've already made arrangements with the people in the houses back here behind the shopping center. You just run. Run up on the porch. Open the door. Tell them that you're there, and they'll tell you where to go to be able to find safety. You go where they tell you to go." And so I went running. I saw this house. I went up the porch. I opened the door. I yelled. They said, "This is where we're at." I went to them. Had never met them before in my life. But here we are. We're all huddled together, waiting for this storm to come, waiting for this tornado to come. And all of a sudden, there was the sound of a roar. And there are people who've been in a tornado that says it sounds like you're laying on the railroad tracks as the train is running over you. Now, I had a lot of experience with trains because my grandfather worked for the railroad, my father worked for the railroad, and for a couple months, I worked for the railroad. I know what trains sound like. This sounded like a train going right over the top of the house. It was the loudest sound I've ever, ever heard. It was amazing. It was deafening. It was scary. We were frightened. And so I asked the people, I said, "Can I just take a moment and can I just pray?" And they said, "Oh, please, if you know how, please." So I prayed. I prayed that God would give us safety in the midst of this storm. But it is loud. It is a loud, loud wind. And this, when the power of the Holy Spirit came, was a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house. And verse 6 tells us that it was so loud that the multitudes came. And notice what they were doing. They were sitting. Now, this is important because the normal posture for prayer back then was to stand or to kneel. So this tells us what? They didn't bring the Holy Spirit by their actions or by their posture. They were sitting because they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, He came down unexpectedly, and it was brought by God. Wasn't brought by human effort. Wasn't brought by human intelligence. Wasn't brought by human influence. It was brought by God. And a lot of times in God's Word, the word for wind is also the word for spirit, which often represents God's power. There was also presence. The first sign of God's spirit was extremely loud, and the second sign is very bright. Did you see it in verse 3? And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Notice that God's spirit separated and came to rest on each one of them. And no believer was left out. And no believer was excluded. Now, fire in the Bible often represents God's purifying presence. Remember in our study of Exodus, especially in chapter 13? It tells us, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of what? Fire. To give them light that they might travel by day and by night. And we talked about this cloud, and we talked about this fire being the very remembrance for them of God's continual presence with them. There was also the sign of proclamation. The third amazing sign of God is verbal. You see that in verse 4? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When all these 120 believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, they started proclaiming their praises in a number of languages that they had not spoken before. Because the word for tongues here refers to known languages. Now, the miraculous thing about this is that these languages were not known to the speakers, but were clearly understood by the hearers. The words being spoken here are real languages understood by people from other countries. How many of you can speak another language? Whoa, okay, all right, okay. I used to be very fluent in French. In fact, I was so fluent in French, I started taking French when I was in fifth grade. And I took it in fifth grade, I took it in sixth grade, I took it in junior high, I took it for a couple years in high school. And by the time I got to high school, I was so fluent in French that my high school French teacher wanted to take me to Paris so that I could communicate with the people in Paris. And he knew that I would be able to hold my own. He told me later on that he envisioned me and him traveling to Paris together and us finding our way in a social situation. And he starts the conversation and he involves me in the conversation. And then he just kind of steps in the back and lets me carry it from there. And he said, I had every confidence, Sam, that you could handle that. Sadly to say, because I don't use my French very much anymore, it's kind of gotten away from me. Oh, there's still things I remember. I'm watching Jeopardy and they have, you know, word origins from French, you know, and I can answer most of the questions. I know what it is that they're trying to say. Somebody is studying French in school and I can kind of help them along with some of the things. I still have some remembrance. But to be fluent, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Now, let me tell you something. I wonder, though, if for some reason I happen to find myself in Paris because I decide that I think Paris would be a nice treat for my wife and I to be able to go and walk the Champs, the Lusée, see the Arc de Triomphe, see the Eiffel Tower, be able to experience some of the things in French, not the food, but other things in French. I wonder if conversations start to happen between me and some of the people in Paris, if God wouldn't bring all of that back to my mind, if I would be able to pick up and start maybe holding my own, even though I haven't used it for so long. You see, if that were to happen, that would be because of the power of the Holy Spirit, not because of the power of Sam. You got that? That would be because God is at work, not Pastor Sam. These words being spoken here are real languages. How do we know that? It tells us more than once in just these few short verses that these languages were known. Look at verses 5 and 6. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak, how? In their own language. The word bewildered means they were confounded and confused because they were hearing the praises and message of God in their native languages. And we have a clue about this from the word language used here, which is the Greek word dialecto, from which we get the word what? Dialect. So not only were they speaking in the educated language of these people in their hearing, they were speaking even their various dialects. These people are amazed because they recognize those who are speaking these languages had never studied a foreign language. It says in verse 7, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? They were beside themselves and out of their minds. They marveled and wondered because this was quite a sign sent to them by God through his Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God that Jesus had promised has now arrived. And we should be filled with awe, wonder, amazement, and astonishment when we see the mighty works of God. God still does mighty works yet today. You know, Andrea may have been driving that car across the mountain passes in blinding snowstorm with the snow building up on the roads. But she wasn't doing that in her own strength. She was doing it in the power of God. She was doing that with God's help. She was doing that with the Spirit of God being in her and being beside her. Because even though Dad sometimes was falling asleep, Dad was back there praying. And I was praying and I was saying, God, please let the snow let up. God, please let us get to dry roads. Let us get to decent roads. The one thing I didn't pray for was, God, do it before we get to Idaho. Because it was like as soon as we crossed the border into Idaho, it was like a switch was turned. And there was no more snow. The roads were dry. They were a little wet, but the side of the road we were driving on was completely dry. It was neat. God answered our prayer in his time and in his power. You know, this was really surprising because these Galileans, they were known to be uneducated and culturally backward. They were thought of as hicks and hillbillies, kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies. You know, you remember the whole concept of that was these people from the backwoods of wherever, from the hills, came and settled in where? Beverly Hills. And they brought their culture into the Beverly Hills culture. And you talk about culture clash. It's exactly what was going on. Okay? They were thought of as hicks and hillbillies, and they had a distinct dialect, like some of the people from various parts of the United States. I remember when Becky and I applied to be Awana missionaries, one of the places they suggested that maybe we pray about going was Alabama and Mississippi. And I said, nope. And they said, why? I said, because I don't want to go to language school before I get on the field. Because that's a whole different language down south, isn't it? Some of you know. Some of you come down south. Some of you spent time down there. It's a whole different language. They have a whole different dialect than what we have in good old Idaho. Amen? All right? These believers were shocked because these Galileans could speak fluently in known languages and dialects. And look at their response in verse 8. And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? So we are told more than once that this isn't some language that cannot be understood. These were known, spoken languages. And when we know the geographical areas where these believers were from, it's even more remarkable. In verses 9 through 11, it gives us a list of 15 nations that moves from east to west and then north to south, and it includes three continents. And when these first missionaries returned to their countries after hearing what it is that God had done, after believing what it is that God had done through what Jesus had done as on the cross, when they believed in Jesus as Savior, when they went back to their countries, they involved themselves in God's mission, telling the life-changing message of the gospel. I want us to see the significance of this. The Holy Spirit has been given to all believers. All believers in Jesus as Savior. Now, in the Old Testament, God's Spirit settled upon a few selected individuals for God's purposes. But starting with Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes to every person, every believer, the moment that they believe in Jesus as Savior. Instead of only being with believers, the Holy Spirit took up residence within them. And now it is within every believer, God's Holy Spirit, and the power through that Spirit that he brings. This is what Jesus explained in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. He said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be," where did Jesus say? "In you." You see, God's mission is to spread the message of the gospel to all the nations through the church. And all believers are now given the power of God's Spirit to be witnesses for him. This is God's mission. And all he desires is that you and I be involved. Now, I'm going to summarize this quickly. There are two usual responses whenever God's Spirit is at work and the gospel message is proclaimed. Some will be receptive. Did you see that in verse 12? "And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? This group was opened and they wanted to know more, but some were resistant." See that in verse 13? "But others, mocking, said, they are filled with new wine." They chose to mock. They thought it was all a joke, turning up their noses. And today, when the message of the gospel is brought forth, whether it's by you or whether it's by me, people mock. When we talk about what God means to us, when we talk about what God has done for us, people mock. People mock today. They think it's a joke, and they just turn up their noses. You see, what happened to these believers and how God worked through them can happen in us and through us today, because God's Holy Spirit gives us the power to what? Be involved in his mission. Are you willing? Are you willing to use God's Spirit to help you do God's mission? Are you allowing God to use you to bless others? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. And so I'm so thankful that even today, your Holy Spirit still comes and indwells us as believers. Every person who believes in Jesus as Savior has the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. And along with that, we have the Holy Spirit power to be able to help us, to be involved in your mission, to be a blessing to others, to proclaim the message of the gospel that Jesus came to this earth. He went to the cross. He died on that cross. His blood was shed on that cross so that people can believe in him as Savior. Father, help each and every one of us to use the power given to us by your Holy Spirit to be involved and stay involved in your mission. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand for this last song?
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus, he came to love, heal and forgive, he bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he fear is gone. I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He reigns, because He lives. I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And life is worth the living just because He lives.
Sunday school in a few minutes.